begin to read from the book of Psalms for this new sermon series, starting right with Psalm number 1. You can follow along on page 843 in the Pew Bibles. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
As Beth mentioned, we're starting a new series today, a six-part sermon series on the Psalms, entitled Drinking Deeply from the Psalms. And the Psalms are so important for the life of the church, for the life of every individual believer, but also for our collective life together. Daryl mentioned how they are the hymnal of God's people. The hymnal, they're the prayer book, the prayer journal of God's people. Going back generations and generations, thousands of years ago, people since going way back have used the Psalms in their devotional life to encounter God. As one author has said, the Psalms are the faith of the Old Testament put to music. So you open the Psalms and you see just come to life the faith of God's people throughout the millennia. And I find it amazing when I think about Jesus using the Psalms. Jesus grew up among his people and he used the Psalms. They nourished his life. He prayed those prayers. And I love to think about that as we put the Psalms on our lips, to think about Jesus himself put those words on his lips. At Jesus' baptism, his vocation as the Messiah, the coming one, and the servant of the Lord were confirmed by quotations from the Psalms. The hymn which Jesus sang with the apostles at the Last Supper was most likely a hymn from the Psalms, the hymnal of God's people. The hymn which Jesus, in the agony of the cross, Jesus meditated upon the words of Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Putting that yearning and that question of God's people upon his mouth. And in his final words, on the cross from Psalm 31:5, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Jesus prayed the Psalms. That's validation enough, right? For us to pray the Psalms. The book of Isaiah and the book of Psalms are the books from the Old Testament most often quoted by the writers of the New Testament. As it has been for God's people through the ages, the Psalms can lead us to a deeper walk with God. And that's my prayer, is that these Psalms, as they become our prayers, will really drive us to our knees, will drive us to dependence toward God. That's my prayer, and I hope you'll join me in that prayer. Now, Psalm 1 is a good place to begin. First of all, it's Psalm 1. But you think about all the Psalms, you know, before the editor, and this is a great Psalm to put first, because it's like a doorway into the rest of the Psalms. It shows clearly that the life of faith, all those who enter through Psalm 1 to the rest of the Psalms, the life of faith has as a starting place a major choice. The choice is whether to follow the way of the world or to follow the way of God. As the famous poet Robert Frost wrote, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. We see two roads in Psalm 1. And you can't take both. You can't take both ways. There's the road of the blessed man, and there's the road of the ungodly one in this psalm. Now, diving in right into the psalm here, the blessed man's path or road is described first by what he does not do. Meaning the blessed man on the road, the blessed path, the blessed man does not do certain things. What are the things the blessed man does not do? Verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Notice the three different categories of the ungodly person. There's three different categories of sin, of what the ungodly do. And there's this progression, and it's a downward progression, meaning things get worse and worse for the ungodly person. First, the ungodly person is walking. And he's walking with his counsel, with his advice. And you've met these people. They have their worldview, the worldview of the world in their hands. And they're giving you all kinds of good advice from their way of thinking. They're advocates of a different way. They'll tell you what is the right thing to do. They're walking. Then we find them standing in sin. And then they are sitting in contempt toward God. You see this progression that the ungodliness here becomes more and more settled. It becomes more and more fixed from walking to standing to sitting. There's almost like you picture this person slowing down and almost walking into some quicksand, and they can't walk anymore, so they're standing. They can't stand anymore, so they start to sink and sit. And there's this hardening, and that's what sin does. You know, as we take in bad food, and as through the years our veins, arteries begin to harden, it's the same in the way of sin. We start to harden. Our heart starts to harden. Oh, it may start out as no big deal, sin, but then we continue in that way and we stop walking, we sit, and then we sit in it, and we become quite hardened in that way of life. And that's how sin is in our lives. It hardens our heart. So from walking to standing to sitting, and then the image, the next image is quite frightening, actually. The way of the wicked leads to a certain outcome. And the psalmist here describes this outcome using an agricultural method that we don't read a whole lot about. We don't use it a whole lot today. We've mechanized a lot of this. But back then, and even today, in a lot of parts of the world, they use this method called winnowing. And you've heard of winnowing. When I was in Israel, we stopped the bus and got out and watched this farmer winnow. And it's kind of a funny image, a whole busload of tourists stopping to kind of watch this farmer. You probably thought we were nuts, but basically the way it was done then, it's the way it's done often now, is a big shovel or a pitchfork or something is taken to a big pile of grain. And the farmer takes, shovels it up, and throws it into the air. And we saw this happening. And the wind blows away the lighter detritus, or the stuff, the lighter stuff. That's the chaff. It's the useless shell or casing of the grain. The chaff gets blown away, but the heavier grain falls back down because it's a good product. It's valuable. So as one becomes more and more settled in sin, the psalmist says here, or describes a picture, that he eventually ends up with no substance at all, like chaff, able to be just blown away, no anchor, no foundation in life, just blown away by the wind. And as one becomes substanceless, like chaff, of course that one can't stand, rooted upon the ground. And in verse 5, that one, this is the way it goes for that one. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They will perish. So basically, in essence, to put it briefly, the road of the ungodly leads to a dead end, literally. The road of the wicked leads nowhere. The way of the blessed man, back to the blessed man, where's his road go? What's it described as? The blessed man is not like that wicked man to begin with. He's not like that. He takes a different path. It's not a path of devolving hardness or a devolving toward hardness and then nothingness. The blessed man takes a path of delight. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This one takes pleasure in God's will, pleasure in God's teaching, God's instruction. And as a result, because he takes such pleasure in it, he meditates on it day and night, night and day. And it's fascinating when you look at the Hebrew behind this word, this English word, meditate. The Hebrew word is haga. It's a vivid word. Just even say it, haga. And it can mean to moan or to growl. And that's the image that's conjured up here, is that this blessed man is moaning or growling with the word of God. Now, this is not an angry growl. This is not, get away from me. Let me put it this way. Who has a dog? Anyone have a dog? Who has given that dog, your dog, a nice, meaty, juicy bone? And that dog, what happens when your dog gets a nice, meaty, juicy bone? That dog takes that bone away off into a corner, and you hear this low-pitched growl. As that dog starts worrying that bone, as they say in the South. That dog starts chewing on that bone. A little growl, a moan of delight, a growl of delight working that bone. That's haga. Meditating on God's word, taking God's word over in a corner and just working that teaching. Growling, a low-pitched, delighted growl. You get the picture? That's the picture of meditation. That's what the blessed man is doing with God's teaching. Now, this past week, your session and some others in the leadership met with a peacemaking ministry called Crossroads Resolution Group. And you'll hear about this a little more in our time together after the service today. And basically, your session is getting some training in how to lead through conflict and how to lead through conflict in a way in which God's will is discerned. Not, you know, just getting to a point of let's vote this thing up or down, but getting to a point of discerning what is the good and perfect will of God. And this Crossroads Resolutions group, they left us the session with some preparation work for their next visit coming back. And basically, it's 6 weeks of preparation work. The big chunk of the preparation is meditation. Now, I'm not talking Eastern meditation. When you think of meditation, you might think of yoga and Eastern forms of meditation. Those forms of meditation are about getting to nothing. Basically, you're trying to empty your mind of everything and create this space of nothingness. But Christian meditation is different. It's full of content. It's full of a big, juicy, flavorful bone, right, that you think on and you reflect on. It's content full, Christian meditation. And so our assignment as your session is to meditate on Hebrews 1 through 4. Not once, not twice, not even three times, but every day for 6 weeks. I'm excited about that. Every day for 6 weeks, reading and chewing on the bone from Hebrews 1 through 4, meditating on it. And as we do that, our minds start to become wired differently. Paul says, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Word of God has the power in the Holy Spirit's hands to renew a mind and to through that to transform a life. Because do not be conformed to the world's thinking, but be renewed by God's way of thinking. We have to meditate to do that. And so your session is going to become ingrained with Hebrews 1 through 4. And since we're doing it, I want to invite you all to do that. Hebrews 1 through 4. I'm really enjoying it. Reading it every day, something different comes to me. I'm starting to think about things a little differently, even reading Hebrews 1 through 4. Try it with us. For the next 6 weeks, for the bold and stout, Hebrews 1 through 4, every day, or at least a chapter or two from it. See how your world, your perspective changes. Chewing and digesting God's word leads to a deep and fruitful life. And you see it in verse 3 as the blessed man is described. Verse 3, this powerful, beautiful image. The blessed man, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now that's a great image for us. We definitely understand as we look around at a parched land and as we see grass and plants and trees drying up and dying around us, withering for lack of water. Now here's a tree in the psalm. I picture it next to an irrigation stream. You know, in those days, then and now, they had trees planted by irrigation streams. And I picture this tree putting down roots down underneath and approaching that irrigation stream, putting roots down into moist and nourishing ground. This tree yields fruit when it's time for fruit. And when the tree is out of season, when fruit is out of season, when all else around it is dry and barren, this tree stays green. Isn't that awesome? Forever. This is the life and the vitality of this blessed man's path. That's the case because it's God's path. It's the case because God watches over this path. Now, as I read this psalm, a question began to arise and to become implicit with this psalm. The implicit question to all of us, I think, from this psalm is, what road will we take? Will we take the road taken by most or the road less traveled? And we'll find it's not a one-and-done type of question to answer, that it's a daily decision. Each day we wake up and there's a crossroads in front of us. In fact, you could say every moment. There's a crossroads. I saw two roads diverge. Which will we take? Will we take the path that leads closer to the Lord, that approaches the Lord, that is oriented towards the Lord, or will we basically take a path that is oriented away and walk away from the Lord? Every decision will take us either closer or further away from the Lord. Now, many of us, our steps, if we get real honest and we hold our lives up to the blessed man of Psalm 1, the man who's hitting on all the pistons, who's walking down the right path and is like a tree by a stream of water, who's chewing on the bone, meditating on God's word. As we hold up our lives against that man, you might think, I don't think that's me. I feel like I'm taking three steps forward and two steps back. I'm going to fall behind. Am I going to make it down that road? I ask those questions all the time. I don't quite hit my stride like the blessed man of Psalm 1. You know, but God even is so good, he provides for us in this weakness. Even though the choice is clear, it's crystal clear, isn't it? Basically, it's a black and white choice. Psalm 1 is a black and white choice. You go this way or you go this way. There's not a third way. There's not a middle way. You go one of those two ways. It's so clear, but it's so hard. It's so hard to take the right path. The thing is we know the right path. We know the right path, but it's hard to do. It's hard to take it. And so God in his grace even empowers us, puts the power in us to take the right path. He's given us the help we need, and that help comes from one who lived up to the standard of perfect obedience, the one who lived up to perfect delight in God's will, the one who then received the full blessing of God because of it. And that man is Jesus Christ. In all of his life, Jesus, perfectly obedient to God's will, even when it was excruciatingly hard. You think of that final crossroads, that final diverging of two roads in Jesus' life. He's fully human, fully God, and he had a choice. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he looks down one of the roads, and he sees that down one of the roads, that leads to a cross. And that leads to suffering and separation for a time from his heavenly Father. And that road leads to taking on all the sin, the dirty, disgusting, wicked sin of all humanity. That road leads there, taking it on his own shoulders, that sin, for our sake. And then he sees this other road away. Like, I can go this way. I can be free of all that suffering. And Jesus saw it clearly, and he took the road toward the cross because it was God's perfect will. And he said, yes, your will, God, not my will. And he took it. Jesus chose God's way, which was our salvation, and God blessed him for it. God gave him the name. God rose him from the dead. Jesus trusted that my Father is not going to abandon me to the grave. And Jesus trusted, put his full faith, into your hands I commit my spirit. God rose him up from the grave, and 3 days God blessed him fully and gave him the name. Scripture says that is above every other name. There's great reward, great blessing. The blessed man of Psalm 1, he's blessed because he takes God's way. Jesus is the true blessed man of Psalm 1. He's the true blessed man. He receives the full blessing of God for what he's done. And the good news is that Jesus shares his blessedness with you and me. He invites us into this relationship. He's the vine. We're the branches. He invites us into relationship with him to come up under his life. And then he shares. He gives his blessedness, his righteousness, his goodness. He gives it to us. His reward. The path with Jesus, the path, the two paths become defined then by who or who is not watching over that path. And the path with Jesus becomes more and more about him and less about us. And what I mean is that the path becomes less about geography and it becomes more about who is with us on the path. What I mean is, so in our daily crossroads of life, we become lost. We fall behind. Three steps forward, or two steps forward, three steps back. We sometimes don't know which way to go, and we get confused and anxious. I've seen people on their deathbeds, you know, how do I get to heaven? How do I find the way to heaven? I can't do it. But that's okay, because we know the one who is with us, the guide on that road. Thomas didn't know the way. Jesus told his disciples and Thomas, who was going to speak up, he says in John 14, you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way is a person. It's not a geographical road. The way is a person. And as long as we stay connected with Jesus Christ, the way, we'll make it. We'll make it. How do we live a blessed life? Just to sum up, how do we live a blessed life? How do we become a blessed person? In terms of Psalm 1, we come into relationship with our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our way. He is our delight. He is our stream of living water. And in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, he is with us forever. He is with us forever. And because of that, we shall not be moved. We will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the streams of the living God. And we shall not be moved, friends. Amen.